Hey, fun morning so far, gang. We were just at RP in our North Surrey campus there, and Living Hope Mennonite Church came and joined us. We've been doing kind of summer camps together throughout the summer. They had their wrap up last week, and so this is a great big, let's get our two tribes together, and let's love the Lord together. It was a lot of fun. Dave, thanks for coming. You did a great job. Dave filled in with the band. We blended, so their team led music, and we had some of our crew play along with, and it was really neat. It's kind of moments of heaven, you know, where you get sort of like different people and different cultures and different denominations even together and singing and loving the Lord together. So that was a lot of fun. This morning, we're looking at Gideon. And thanks for the stories that we've shared already so far about trust. There are things that can be difficult in our personal lives. Some of those, you know, stories we've shared, others remain to be said. Culturally, on a bigger picture, you know, there can be some difficult things happening. There are all kinds of changes. We worry about inflation and housing prices and the Canadian dollar. And we worry about wars and rumors of wars around the country. And, you know, dark days. Like, if you were a bandwagon Blue Jays fan, maybe the last 2 days you're thinking about getting off again. Dark days. Ouch. You know, our neighborhoods are changing. And for some, that's really exciting. And for some, that's scary. And it causes a lot of anxiety. You know, it used to be that the West would send missionaries into the world. Well, now the world comes to us. And Africa sends missionaries here. And other countries send missionaries here. And, I mean, you guys, look all around you. How many dozens of languages are spoken in the buildings nearby? You know, my street is a little bit of a case study, at least in the Robson Park neighborhood. We've been there 11 years. And I think there, when we moved in, we were the new kids on the block. This is only 11 years ago. And most people who live there were original families, like who were there when their houses were built in 1960, raised their kids there, their kids have now moved on. Well, they've all sort of moved out now and retired to condos or whatever. And one by one, they're getting knocked down and these mansions are getting built with multiple families and multiple ethnicities, languages, religions, and we've just suddenly got the world living in our street and wrestling with this. You know, there are moments in our culture where we find it's hard to be a Christian. Trinity's getting a lot of grief about wanting to raise teachers and lawyers who have Christian convictions. We have no idea what to do with Islam. We have a mosque moving in next door to RP, and we're going to try to figure out what it means to be friends and neighbors and to share Jesus with our Muslim neighbors. You know, we've got this interesting sort of mix and dynamic and difficult circumstances that Gideon is dealing with in Judges 6. Cam's already introduced it. You've got Israel sinning, and they've turned to other idols, and God's allowed their enemies to come in and oppress them. And after 7 years, they've cried out to the Lord, and he comes and answers in response. And I think there's something that Gideon and his story can teach us today, not only about what it looks like to be God's people in a culture that's difficult, but also what it looks like for us to pray and to wrestle with the Lord in prayer, to even doubt what that looks like as he sends us and we respond to him. Gideon, it's kind of a fun story, fairly well known. What sort of things come to mind when you hear Gideon? Just call them up. Gideon, what do you know from Sunday school or?
The fleece.
Thank you, Jim. Anything else? The fleece is kind of a big deal. I've preached this before and actually brought a fleece and used it as a visual. I couldn't find it this week. What else? Drinking from a stream. Yeah, that's interesting. And there's epic battle strategies, right? So as we jump into Gideon, we discover, Cam's already read this, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? If you have your Bibles, I'm jumping around between 6 verse 1 to kind of 7 verse 10. Can't go verse by verse, but it'll help track if you keep that open. What we discover through Scripture about God over and over and over again is that he is the missio Dei. He is the God who sends and is sent. And the whole missional movement is not about going and doing missions. It's about rediscovering that the very character of who God is is one who is sent. God, throughout Scripture, sends different people to his people. God ultimately sends his own Son, who sends his Spirit, who sends us. God sends. And so to deliver his people Israel, he sends Gideon. Go in the strength you have and save Israel. Am I not sending you? I love Gideon's response. But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, one of the smallest tribes, and I am the least in my family. Gideon, go. That Gideon? Or you, there's another Gideon here, right? Like, God, you're surely talking about somebody else. You can't possibly have met me. I'm hiding here threshing my wheat. Hiding. It's bad. And you can't possibly have meant me. And he's not alone. We have other examples of this in Scripture. God calls Moses. What does Moses say? Me? But I can't speak very well. But I don't think they're going to believe me. But you know, people are hesitant, right? Gideon wasn't waiting like, oh, pick me. I'll go deliver Israel right here. I'm your man. Gideon's, you know, that's not who God chose. It's interesting who God chooses and why. We'll get there in a minute. Gideon, Moses, well, how about us? Of course, we have all been sent. You realize that, right? This is Jesus' command to us. Go into the world and make disciples, each and every one of you. Who, me? How can I? You can't possibly need me, Lord, because that's why we pay Cam and Dan, and that's why we have evangelists, and that's why we do summer camps, because like that's supposed to take care of it. You can't possibly need me. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know anything about different religions. What if they ask hard questions? I can't do it. I don't know. You've got the wrong guy. To be really honest, it feels like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. There must be anybody else on this green earth that you could possibly send who would be better than me. And that attitude makes Gideon the exact right person to deliver Israel from Midianites. Makes Moses the exact person to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians, and makes you the exact right person to go to his friends and neighbors that he has called you. That very end. God's power made perfect in our weakness, but I'm jumping ahead. We'll get there in a minute. God says the same thing to Moses, to Gideon, and to you and I. Verse 16. I will be with you. Moses, go. I will be with you. Friends, go into all the world, make disciples. I will be with you until the very end of the age. Gideon doubts. Verse 17, Lord, I am not so sure. If I have found favor in your eyes, don't be mad, but I could use a little bit of a sign just to make sure that it really is you talking to me and not the lamb gone bad that I had. Like, I just got to make sure that I'm not crazy. Can you, you know, I'll go make you a meal. I'll come right back. Lord touches the staff. The meal burns up, and now he thinks he's going to die. So careful when you ask signs. When we're presented with a difficult project, you know, you kind of ask questions. If you're at work and somebody comes and says, hey, we need you to get this done. And you're thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, how are we going to pull this off? We don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. Who is going to do this? There's sort of two ways that people respond to impossible situations. The first kind of person or response is the sort of stubborn, there's no way this is going to work kind of doubting. You know those kind of people. It doesn't matter what sort of solutions you throw at them, it just can't be done. There's other kind of person who, when faced the impossible, they're like, I have no idea how this is going to get done, but let's try it and see what happens. It's a willingness, right? One of the things we learn from the story of Gideon is that we can doubt. It's okay. We can ask God for signs. It's okay. But I'd like to suggest that there are two different kinds of doubters. And there's one that makes God very mad, and another that he has no problem indulging over and over and over again. And scripture's full of both. Moses, for example, says, Lord, what do you mean? I can't speak very well. He says, okay, well, I'm going to help. Send your brother Aaron to help you. Well, but they're not going to believe me. He says, okay, well, you know, staff, do the snake thing, and, you know, hand and the leprosy thing. Like, I'll give you signs. God, like, it takes every one of Moses' excuses, really, is what they are. Doubts, questions, excuses. And he satisfies them. And how does Moses respond in the end when God takes away all of his excuses? Oh, Lord, please send someone else. It's like my favorite thing of all scripture. You can't call him Lord and say no. Oh, Lord, please send someone else. Zechariah does this in the New Testament, right? You're going to have a child. Surprise. What do you mean? I'm kind of old. That's not going to work. There's no way. Okay, well, now you cannot say another word until God's word comes true. Contrast that with Mary, who says, I have no idea how that's going to work from where I'm standing, but you know, how is that going to happen? Give me some ideas. And says, okay, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come on. Mary does the how will this be? Where Zechariah is the how can this be kind of guy. Two different doubters. I think Gideon is kind of the second. You know, he doesn't say no. He sort of leans into the, okay, okay, how? Can you sort of give me a bit of encouragement here, a bit of a sign here? And the difference is the person who says, you know, Lord, I'm saying yes to you, saying yes to your sending, saying yes to your call, no idea how you're going to pull this off through me, and I can use a bit of encouragement. That's different from the person who says no. Send someone else. Difference between saying, Jesus, you know, I have a neighbor that I love and I want to know about you. I'm a little concerned about timing. When's the right time to share them? What's the right thing to say? You know, can you give me a sign that this is the right time and the right place and the right thing to say? That's totally different from saying, Lord, I know you said to go and make disciples, but I'm really a let them see you through my actions kind of a guy. I don't really need to say anything, because that's, you know, why you give evangelists, and that's why you give church staff. That's what the mission group leaders do. You know, in fact, Lord, I've got an even better idea. Oh, Lord, would you please bless the seeds that you sowed during camp the last few weeks? Oh, Lord, would you please allow my neighbor to knock on Dan's door this week so he can share you with him? Oh, Lord, would you send, you know, someone else from a different church who has a gift of evangelism to randomly run into this person. Oh, Lord, send someone else. God can handle our doubts and our questioning, but the response of our hearts needs to be, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's leaning into that obedience, that willingness. Even if Gideon just takes a little step in the right direction, God will indulge him all day long. Four times he gives him signs. Encouragement, help him along. He builds his faith. And it's a really neat example of prayer. God actually, like, his doubts are actually this prayerful kind of dance of wrestling he does with God. Back to the bit about God's power being made perfect in weakness. Jump ahead to 7 verse 1. Early in the morning, Gideon and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. Midian was in the north in the valley near the hill of Morah, and God said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave. So 22,000 left, while 10,000 remain. And the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Go down to the water, and based on how they drink, I will pick and choose them. God winnows them down to 300 people. And what he says is, Gideon, this actually has nothing to do with your inability or your smallness or your fear or your anxiety. Friends, take a deep breath. This has nothing to do with your fear or your inability or your anxiety. This has nothing to do with you. This is about God and his kingdom and his glory. You are not God's gift to the world. God is God's gift to the world. You do not bring about transformation in your neighborhoods. You do not save anybody. He does that. That is his work. Any conversation you step into with somebody, God's at work in their heart. Surprise. You're not bringing God anywhere. He's there. He's at work. In your neighbor next door, in your apartment building, on your walk, God is there. He was there way before you arrived, and he will be at work long after you leave. God is there. His glory, his kingdom, his ability. And the fact that you feel inadequate is what makes you the perfect vessel for his presence and for his glory. So, the right time arrives for Gideon. Jumping back to 634, Midian invades. And what the scripture says in verse 34 is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew a trumpet, summoning the Beezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout the tribes, calling them to meet him. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon. I love this. This is one of the few times in Scripture where the literal translation of this is God puts on Gideon. Kind of neat to think about. I don't know what you think about. You imagine you think about God's Spirit filling you. God puts you on. And then it has nothing to do with your inadequacy or your inability. He does it through you. He needs you to be willing to lead and to take steps of trust and obedience. And what's wild is this: God's Spirit comes on Gideon, and you kind of expect the story from this point forward to go, and he charges out and storms the enemy, and they win. No, this happens before the fleece. Three more times is Gideon going to come to the Lord and say, I don't know about this. And he has God's Spirit. So it's okay. We're filled with God's Spirit, and we can still doubt and wonder and be unsure and insecure and wrestle with the Lord in prayer this way. So comes the fleece. Lord, I know I've got the whole army summoned, but I'm still really not sure about this. So tell you what, I know this sounds weird, but I'm going to put this fleece down. And if in the morning the fleece is wet and the ground's dry, then that means, you know, for sure you sent me. Sure enough, in the morning, the fleece is wet, the ground's dry. He thinks, God, don't be mad, but just in case this is a wild coincidence, let's do the opposite. Let's have the fleece be dry and the ground wet the next morning. Sure enough, the fleece is dry and the ground's wet. So, okay, let's gather, you know, trumpets and torches and let's get ready. And then the Lord says, Gideon, I know you're still not sure about this. Go down to the enemy camp and you're going to hear something that'll change your mind. And so he goes, and I don't have time to go in it. You can read sort of the dream and the interpretation. It's fascinating. But while in the enemy territory, God speaks through the enemy to prove to Gideon once and for all he's going to do this thing. And Gideon's response is wonderful. He's in enemy territory. His doubts fade away. He's got it, finally. This is not about him. This is not about the fact that he's the weakest of his tribe. This is not about the fact there's only 300 people. This is about God and what he's going to do. And Gideon falls on his knees in enemy territory, and he worships. It's a wild response. And then he goes in God's sending and through the Spirit of the Lord, and he delivers Israel. God uses him. God puts on Gideon to deliver Israel. He finally realizes that this is all about God and his power, his ability, his words, his sentness, his saving. He just gets to be the instrument. God has called each and every one of us to join him in his sentness, to go into our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, with our friends. We are sent. We join him. We are his witnesses called to make disciples, especially because we're weak and we're unsure and we don't have the right words to say. God puts us on, filling us with his Spirit, and it's his words and love and truth and actions. We can wrestle with him in prayer. It's okay. As we take steps to obedience, saying, Lord, I'm going to, okay, but I have no idea how this is going to work. I could use a sign or some encouragement. He'll indulge us. No problem. But remember, the response is, yes, I'll take a small step and help and give some encouragement. And we can worship, realizing it's all about God's greatness and not us or ours. Can I pray for us as we close? Lord God, thanks for this wild story of Gideon, that you use even him, that you would use even me to bring glory to yourself, to bring about this incredible saving work that you're doing in the world, that I get to be a part of it, that we get to. And that in one sense, we can't screw it up, that you are going to provide your power and your spirit and your love and your actions. So Jesus, I want to ask that for each one of us today, for me too, that as we have chances this week to hear from you, that we interact with our friends, that we take just a small step that says, Lord, I'm not sure how it's going to work, but let's try this. And would you help and encourage and give a sign or whatever? That you would build our faith. That you would show us that it is you that is at work. That you want to use us. That it's by your power and strength and by your words that you will glorify yourself. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, come. Would you be glorified? Would you have your way? Would you take the small offerings that we can give you of our small abilities, and you bring great glory to yourself, that people wouldn't see us? It's not because that we're special, because you are so wonderful. We bless you. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
It's about his glory and his greatness and his matchless name. The same God that Gideon trusted in his failing way, we can trust in our failing way too, because he is good. Let's stand, and we're going to use the words of the song, "Rend the Heavens," to allow us to have language for how to even ask God for these sort of things in our lives. We've gathered for you. Show your glory to us, we pray. Thank you.
That, like Gideon, God sends us. We are sent. But I also know that, like Gideon, many of us are fearful, timid, shy. God, you can't possibly be sending me, for I am the weakest of the weak. And then we also heard this morning Terry's great word to us, not on one knee, but on both knees, we bow and pray and trust him. Jesus said to his disciples, which last time I checked included me and you, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, and I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I also heard this morning that when we pray specifically, God answers, and we heard testimony to that. So would you go this week with this challenge to pray specifically that God will demonstrate his presence with you as you go because you are sent? Let me say it again. That you would pray specifically that God would demonstrate his presence in your life as you go in obedience. Father, thank you for being present today. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for speaking to us. And now we go as your kids, feeling a little bit timid, feeling a little bit frightened. Oh Lord, would you take that little spark of excitement in us, that little spark of adventure that says, Lord, we want to trust you. And so this week we're going to try. And we're going to pray specifically that you will act in our lives, demonstrating your presence as we go. And as we are sent to neighbors, family members, co-workers, fellow students, apartment mates, whatever it might be, whoever it might be. Send us, Lord Jesus, and make us aware of your presence, so that next Sunday when we gather together, we may tell stories
of where we've seen you, not dead, but alive, working in our lives. Thanks for this morning together. Lord, send us with your power. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Remember, next week we're at Robson Park together. We're going to have so much fun. If you don't know where it is, if you don't know how to get there, if you don't know how you'll get there, speak to Dan or I or one of the others that you see up front. Mark's going to come make 28 trips back and forth to take people if he needs. No, we won't. But we need to have everybody there next week just to be family together. So we'd love you to come next Sunday at Robson Park. Have a great week. 10 o'clock. Perfect. Thanks, Mark.